Time to see what's happening from the Washington State side. She's the outstanding journalist covering the Coug beat for the Seattle Times, also wired into the Seahawks. Hit up seattletimes.com, learn more. Follow along on Twitter, the handle at Stephanie Lowe. Stephanie, thanks for joining us. How have you been?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Cam Newton. We just had the 44-year anniversary of Billie Jean King beating Bobby Riggs. I was 12. I rooted for Billie Jean, and I cannot wrap my head around this mentality still existing. You're an educated, knowledgeable, successful sports journalist. Would you say you're more angry, disgusted, sad? What's your reaction to this Neanderthal statement?
I honestly was just surprised to see it yesterday. Like you say, it is 2017, you know, 44th anniversary of Billie Jean King's match against Bobby Riggs. And also, like, we just celebrated the 45th anniversary of Title IX. So lots of women have been in sports, whether it's recording or management or anything like that, for a long time. And there's no place for that sort of attitude in the business. And you know, I've worked with a lot of wonderful male sports writers and male athletes and male coaches, and I would say that his opinion is in the minority, and you know that he probably didn't think it was going to blow up the way it did, but that's the problem. I think the fact that he said it without thinking, it seemed so candid, like it just kind of was this offhand remark. That to me indicates that that's what he really feels about women.
Ugh, it gives me a headache. I'm getting too old for this. Steph, let's get to the Friday nighter. Packed house, ESPN. They beat USC. I thought it was as big a home win as we've seen for the program since they went to the Rose Bowl 15 years ago. You hear from a lot of fans and supporters. Well, what about that atmosphere and the magnitude of the victory? I guess, albeit still relatively early in the season.
Right, but I think that was huge for the Cougs, and you could feel it in the energy that was coming off the field. You could feel it in the fans. Like, that was a big game for them. That was probably the best game they've had in the last decade and a half, maybe two decades, you know, because they were a struggling program in the Pac-12 for a very long time. And I think the fact that they managed to beat USC at home, number 5 in the country, also speaks as the sort of an arrival of this is who the Cougars are now. And this is what they're going to do under Mike Leach. I think it took him a while to rebuild that program because of how bad they were when he took over. And this is really the first big win that he's managed to lead them to as head coach.
We're talking with Stephanie Lowe, the Seattle Times. When you and I talked before the 2015 game, defensive coordinator Alex Grinch was new. Leach had hired him. He was very successful at Missouri. And, man, that deed did some job against Darnold and USC. You know, you look at the points in the Boise State game, but it was a triple overtime. So now, as we sit here year 3, how would you best describe the job Coach Grinch has done taking over, as you alluded to, a bad defense and transforming them?
He's made the difference in this program. There's absolutely no doubt about that. You know, before he came, yes, they were scoring a lot of points under Leach. They were putting up these crazy offensive yardage numbers, but they couldn't hang with people because they couldn't stop people from scoring on them. So I think what he's done is he's brought this aggressive ball-hawking mentality to this defense. And now I think he's finally started to get some of the kids he wants into the system to sort of play his system. And you're seeing the result of that. The last couple of years, they had to play a lot of kids early. You know, there are a lot of freshmen and sophomores playing because Alex was trying to get his guys into his system. And now a lot of these kids are juniors and seniors, and they're starting to see that payoff. They're playing fast, and they're more comfortable with the system. And they're playing as a group, and I think that group chemistry is important. You know, you look at their defense up and down. Most of these guys played together last year, and they're coming back for their second year together, kind of knowing how to play off each other better than they did before.
That defense has always been at its best, like you said, when they ball hawk, but also that they've always crashed the pocket. I think back to Ryan and Travis Long, Isaac Brown, and now you got Herk Mataafa, who was good last year, but man, this season seems like he's taken things to a new level. He's moved from end to inside. I mean, you watch him day in, day out, practice and games. What kind of force has he been to watch so far this year?
He's playing out of his mind, isn't he? I mean, even Clay Helton said this week that Hercules was probably the best player they faced all year on defense. And also, you know, he's hard to stop because of how quick he is off the ball. Like, it's really hard to beat him off that first step, and so you're already a step behind. And then the best you can do is sort of try to hold off his assault. So I think teams are finding it really hard to kind of hold him back. And it's also helped him that they have a couple of other guys who've emerged as legitimate pass-rushing threats. Frankie Louvu comes to mind, and also Nnamdi Ogwayo, who's their defensive end. And so when you put it all together, it's not just Herc. They have a couple of guys up there who are doing some good things, and so you can't just kind of game plan against Herc now. Like, you can't just hold him off. You have to account for everybody else as well, because if you double-team him, then what happens? Someone else might spring open.
Talking Coug football with Stephanie Lowe of the Seattle Times. Alex Grinch, obviously the coordinator, is also the secondary coach, and you've got a great tradition at Wazoo. I'm thinking of Trufant and Carl Pema, Eric Coleman. But this group in particular, I was reading, the corners are going to make their 30th career start. How, with the experience, how solid, how well has this group been playing this year?
So I think Darian Moulton, who's their left cornerback, you've seen him really sort of grow from year to year. You know, he started really early on here. He's now a junior. And so he's a guy who's played in 29 games, and he brings that experience to the table. And then you look across from him, there's Marcellus Pippins, who's a senior, and he's really a four-year starter. I think he started midway through his freshman season, if I'm not mistaken. And so when you put it together, they've played off each other for a long time. And especially with Moulton, you've kind of seen that growth. He made some freshman mistakes his first year starting, didn't let that get to him, kind of, you know, had that short memory mentality where he kind of just moved on. You know, you get burned, you move on. I think that's important for a corner. And has come back and been really solid for them this season.
We were talking this week about how for years that air raid, you know, they were not last in rushing, but also last in rushing attempts. Just throw it a million times. Actually, it's kind of ironic. This year, there's 14 teams who have run it fewer times. Did they ever talk about maybe trying to run more? I'm not talking about balance. Maybe not be so pass happy. Or am I not just understanding what air raid actually means?
Luke would scoff at you. He likes to say that, you know, it's not about being, he doesn't look at it as, oh, you have to call the same number of run plays versus the same number of pass plays to be a balanced team. His system, as he would tell you, is really predicated on kind of taking what the defense gives them and finding ways to get skill players open in space. So a lot of the times, like you saw the first couple of games they played against Montana State and also a little bit against Boise State, those teams kind of took away the long ball for them. And so what that forced Luke Falk, the quarterback, to do was really to kind of check down to his running back and his inside receivers. And they kind of methodically worked the field with those, you know, short games, but consistent games. And that also opened up room for the running backs to do some work. And I think that's where they grew last year in 2016. You really saw that running game sort of explode with the emergence of James Williams, who's the kind of shifty, playmaking, creative sort of back that they maybe didn't have before.
Final couple thoughts, Stephanie Lowe, Seattle Times. After USC, the program was fined $25,000 for storming the field, even though it seemed like the only incident was a deliberate hit on a young Coug fan by a Trojan lineman. I thought the fine was complete BS. What was your reaction to that news? And, you know, even if you incorporate what you wrote, what Clay Helton had to say about it.
To the fine? Well, honestly, I think we knew it was coming because after the Boise State game, sorry, that's my puppy. After the Boise State game, when the fans stormed the field, you know, there was one random Krug fan who ended up starting a GoFundMe to try and raise money for this alleged $25,000 fine. Well, it turns out there was no fine that game. And so we kind of knew at that point that kind of allowed the rule to kind of come to light that says that if you storm the field within 60 seconds of the game and the other team has not gotten off the field in time, that you could be levied a fine. So we were kind of expecting that, I think. But I think if you ask, honestly, anybody in that program, they would do it again.
To beat USC?
Right.
To remain unbeaten? I don't blame them. Lastly, it's been an unbelievable start. You had the comeback against Boise State, beating the Trojans. But they've all been at home. Now they come to a very difficult venue. So all week long, what are the guys saying about facing this Duck team here in Eugene and maybe the kind of challenges Oregon presents even without their starting quarterback?
I think, as always, the challenge against Oregon is stopping their skill players, right? There's so many to pick from. Like last week, you saw even when Royce Freeman went out, they didn't miss a beat. You know, that run game is always going to be a huge threat. And I think the thing for the Cougars is that, don't forget, they lost their middle linebacker for the season, too, Clayton Palua.
Right.
He was a four-year starter, and he got hurt, I think, in the Nevada game. He broke his foot. And so last week, for the first time against USC, Isaac Dotson started in his place. And unfortunately for them, Dotson was also hurt after the first quarter. All indications are that Dotson will be back this week, which is huge news for them because he's irreplaceable, I think, as far as the experience level goes. But I think it will be interesting to see how they match up against Oregon's running game.
She is Stephanie Lowe, does a terrific job covering the Cougs, Seahawks, and more for the Seattle Times. Since we broadcast the Seahawk games down here in Eugene, someday we're going to have to get you back to talk some NFL. SeattleTimes.com, at Stephanie Lowe on Twitter. Always appreciate your time. You travel safe to Eugene. And thanks for joining us, Steph.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care.